This is number 54 in our series on walking in the ways of the Lord. I just love thinking about that. 54 messages, and all we've been talking about is fellowship and walking with the Lord, how to walk with Him and how He walks with us. The title of tonight's is The Fruit of the Spirit, Meekness, Part 1. Well, we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit for a while, and that's when you look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 26, you actually see His character. And when we talk about walking in His ways, we're talking about walking in His character, the way He is, walking in our life with the same character that God has. And He's made that available to us. He's placed His Holy Spirit in us, so His very character lives in us. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are the 9 fruit of the Spirit. We went through 7 of them already. We're on the 8th one, and we got 1 more to go. And I'm not quite sure how that's going to take place after that. But today we're going to start on meekness. The last one we talked about, I don't know if you were here, Nate, or not, but we talked about Jesus, our faithful high priest. That was our last one in this little respite that we've had. But today we're going to start talking about meekness. And we're going to see some interesting things on meekness. Our introductory statement, a person walking in the ways of the Lord, is a person who is committed to and diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They habitually exercise the fruit of meekness and gentleness in their walk with God and man. They habitually exercise the fruit of meekness and gentleness in their walk with God and man. Habitually. When you're walking in the ways of the Lord, what you do is habitual. Something that's habitual is something that you really don't even have to think about. You just do it. You habitually do, maybe you drink your coffee or whatever a certain way. Or you go a certain, it's habit. It's habitual. It's part of your character. Part of who you are. But this person here, a person walking in the ways of the Lord, is a person who is committed. It means that whenever he slips a little bit, he gets right back. He's not going to change. He's going to walk this way. He's committed to doing it. He means business.
Amen.
He wants to walk with God. He's not playing games. He knows that this is serious. He knows that eternity is involved. Not just his own eternity, but other people's eternity. You're going to exist forever. You're already, if you're born again, you're already in your eternity. But you are going to exist forever in heaven or hell. And it's your choice. You choose that by your life, by your choices you make every day, by receiving Jesus or not receiving Jesus. This person that's committed to and diligently walking the love walk is committed to Jesus. He's received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He's committed to God and he's committed to the Word. No matter what happens, he's always going to come right back here. He's going to live his life based on what God says. That's a person that is diligently committed. That means diligent, he puts effort into it. It's not just something he does when it's comfortable or when it's favorable to everybody around him. He's going to be a child of God and walk that way no matter what's going on around him. He's going to look silly to some people. Some people won't like you. But that's the person that's diligently committed. God's already diligently committed to us. He laid his own life down for us. The least we can do is walk with him. And yeah, that's the least we can do.
We watch a lot of shows with criminals and, you know, those kind of shows that they have on TV. And this one show we were watching, you always think to yourself, what would I do in that situation? You know, what if that guy threatened me? What if I made that bad choice or whatever? But then we think, We don't do that.
We just don't do that.
That's outside of our experience and our choices. But this one the other day we saw was a man who was playing cards with somebody, and they always show the person who's getting wiped out, you know, because the other people are cheating.
Yeah.
And he caught the one guy cheating. And made a big stink about it, and somebody pulled a gun, you know, and all that kind of stuff goes on. And I'm thinking, what if I was playing cards or doing something with somebody, and I realized and knew for certain that they were cheating on me? What would I do? Would I get mad like that guy did? Would I get up, make a bunch of demands? Would I challenge that person? Or what would I do? And you know what I thought? I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I'd just say, well, I'm done. I quit.
Yeah.
And leave. Before the fight started, before the gun came out, you know, just get out of there. So I got cheated, so I got ripped off, you know.
So what?
I shouldn't have been there in the first place.
I bought something.
Well, it's just a matter of habit, though. You're not going to be in the situation that made it such a big deal.
Exactly right.
Exactly.
You're going to avoid it.
I wouldn't even go there. But I got enough to do without that yet.
If you did get in that situation, it's a good question. How would I respond? I would respond walking the love walk.
I
would. The reason I would is because I habitually practice it. I habitually study it. I habitually confess it. I confess the love walk every day. Actually, twice a day. We do it together, and then I do it by myself. But we commit ourselves to that. So I know the Holy Spirit will bring that up. The correct behavior will come up when I'm in the middle of that. I'll still have to make the right decision, and I'll still have the opportunity not to do it right, but I will know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the awesome thing about when you study these things and you make a commitment to them and you practice it in little ways. Just little ways. So what? They got the last cookie. You don't have to get mad at it. Well, I didn't have any cookies. That's all right. Let them have the cookie. You know, you're habitually practicing that in little ways. And when the big one comes along, you're already practicing it. You're already prepared. And you'll find that the peace of God will come up in that moment, and you'll walk right through that trouble. And it won't bother you. If it does, you'll take care of it.
The thing I've noticed about it, though, is when you continuously do that, other people will see that you're being walked all over. You're being walked all over.
Yeah, that's what they look at.
But when you're in the middle of it and you're just used to that and you know the real reasoning behind it, it's like, no, it's just not that.
God told me that one time, and I told him, I told the Lord, I said, if I do this for this particular person, they're just going to walk all over me. He goes, who? I said, me. Who? Me. Who? Me.
You're self-centered. See? Well, that's what we're going to study some of those things in the next couple of weeks, because we've been talking about
who are you getting meekness. All broke up about, he said.
Huh?
He told me, he said, who are you getting all broke up about?
Yeah. He'll take care of you. Galatians 5:22-26. We're going to read that. That's our foundational scripture. Now, we use the Amplified this time because Galatians 5:22-26. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work His presence within accomplishes. That's a key phrase. That's a key phrase. I love the way the Amplified says that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. The Holy Spirit that came into our lives when we got born again, He brought these fruits with Him. They're present in everybody that's born again, but they have to be exercised. They have to be developed. You can choose whether to walk in them or not. And we've studied all but two of these. The fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control is our next one. Gentleness, we're going to study today. Notice what it says for gentleness. meekness, and humility. Then it says at the end, against such things there is no law. And the Amplified says, that can bring a charge. Satan likes nothing better than to bring a charge against you. But if you're walking in these, there's nothing he can do. These are the most powerful elements that you can have in your life. And they're present already. But most people don't know they're there, and they never understood that they have to exercise them. I have to, on purpose, choose peace. I have to, on purpose, choose to be patient with others. I have to choose, on purpose, to walk in the love walk that we're talking about. I have to, on purpose, choose to rejoice. You know what rejoice means? Put the joy back. The prefix re is always put something back. Or return. You're coming back to where you were. Rejoice means put the joy back. When you're feeling down and you're upset about something, you have a choice. I'm going to rejoice. The Bible says to do that. You have to make that quality decision. Right in the middle of this mess, I'm going to rejoice. That's a good time for some praise music. Or just getting in the Bible and looking up good stuff. Speaking out of your mouth. I choose to rejoice here. I'm not going to be down in the middle of this. Kindness and goodness. Goodness, it says, benevolence or being good. We studied that. Faithfulness was our last one. But gentleness, meekness, and humility is one that people, they misunderstand it. They don't know really what it is. So we're going to look at some scriptures. Against such there is no law is important because Satan cannot bring an accusation against you when you walk in these. They're powerful. They're the fruit which the Holy Spirit has brought within you. And it's the work that his presence within accomplishes. But he doesn't do it by himself. He requires you. You have to call them up. You have to make a choice for them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility, and meekness. Here the Amplified identifies meekness as unselfishness, gentleness, or mildness. You can see a character forming here when you talk about meekness. With patience. Why did he add that? Because you're not going to walk in that without patience. You're going to have to be patient with people around you and with the circumstances. You're going to have to exercise the fruit of patience in order to be able to walk in the fruit of meekness or gentleness or humility. They're basically the same thing. You're not going to be able to walk in that walk without patience. And you can't walk the love walk without patience. What's the first thing you're going to do? I'm going to walk the love walk. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be kind to everybody. I'm going to be nice. The word says to do that. God's power flows in me because when I do that, I'm going to do it. And you walk right out the door and somebody smarts off at you. Or they do something to make you mad. You weren't patient with them. You just lost that. It was an opportunity that you had to overcome that and you didn't do it. Well, you should have resisted that temptation to be mad and to get upset at that person or whatever it was. You should have resisted that, but you didn't because you were not patient. But if you had exercised the fruit of patience, you would have been able to encounter that, had the same circumstance, and not get mad or upset with them. Matter of fact, you'd have probably done something nice for them. You'd have probably been kind to them instead. Because of patience. Patience is vital. With patience, bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another. Sometimes we just have to make an allowance for somebody. So what? They acted stupid. They done something to upset you. So what? Big deal. You know, it takes a man to walk in this. A wimp is not going to walk in this. A wimp can't walk in it because they're not going to be patient. But you bear with one another. At the same time, they should be bearing with you. You're going to be stupid too sometimes. I am occasionally, you know. Just ask her. She'll tell you. But verse 3, be eager and strive. Now, what's that mean? It means you want to do this and you're working at it. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. This kind of harmony and oneness comes from God. It's His idea. And He expects us to walk in it. That means you're going to have to make allowances for people. You're not going to be able to be in harmony and oneness with anybody if you're not making allowances for them. It'll go fine when they're being nice to you. But the minute that they make a little, do something that you don't appreciate, all of a sudden you've lost your oneness and harmony. You're out of harmony. But here it says it's produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. Peace binds things together, makes them strong. It makes them tight and stronger than they would be by themselves. But if you're not walking in patience and humility and meekness, you're going to be separated. Now you're on your own. I don't want to be on my own. I'm a lot stronger with my brothers and sisters with me. I'm a lot stronger walking with God than I am without. And if you don't do this, He has a hard time walking with you. And it's not His fault, it's yours. Meekness, gentleness, and humility are closely related. As a matter of fact, when you look at the definitions of them, when it says meekness, it'll include gentleness and humility. When you look at gentleness, it'll include meekness and humility. When you look up humility, it'll include gentleness and meekness. They're really, really, really close together. And they're powerful. They're very powerful. Philippians 2:2-5. This is a New King James here. But as we study this and go through this, keep those three words in your thought life, because you're actually talking about all three when we're talking here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. All through the Scriptures, Paul is talking about being like-minded. It doesn't mean that I think exactly like you do. It means, again, I'm making allowances. Making allowances for you, and I'm striving to be one with you. If there's a difference between us, we fix that difference. We may not agree 100%, but we make allowances and we yield to one another. We learn from each other. You have knowledge I don't have. And if I'm separating from you, I can't get that knowledge. But if I'm being kind to you, if I'm forbearing with you, if I'm listening to you, if I'm being kind and gentle and meek with you, then I'm going to learn something I didn't know. The fastest way to grow in knowledge is with other people. It might be the dumbest person you know. They know something you don't know. Don't worry about so-called intelligence. All intelligence is a bunch of words somebody taught you. Doesn't mean you're smart. It means you got knowledge from somebody else. Everything we know and do come from somebody else. That's why those books are over there. Other people's knowledge. Not mine. Now, God will grant us revelation knowledge, but where He sovereignly teaches us.
Yes.
You know, praise God. So, anyways, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Doesn't that sound like the last scripture we read? Verse 3 here in Philippians chapter 2 is an important scripture. Let nothing, how much?
Nothing.
Let nothing be done through selfishness, ambition, or conceit. So you're not supposed to have those three things in your life. You're not ever to be selfish, self-centered, thinking of only yourself. Ambition is fine, but only in the Lord. Let Him exalt you. Or conceit. A lot of people are conceited. You can be a Christian and be conceited. Not supposed to be that way. But. A but means instead of that, don't it? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Was Christ Jesus lower than anybody else and of no importance? No, He's our Savior and Lord. But He treated others as being better. He allowed them to get the last cookie.
Yes. No. he
allowed them to take the front seat. He allowed them to get the best of whatever it was. He laid His life down. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Let nothing be done through selfishness, ambition, or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's the way He lived. He was the most meek, gentle, and humble person that's ever lived. Moses was right up there with Him. The Bible says that He was the most meek in His time. God said that about Him. Now, so it must be true. Paul was another meek person, but he was anything but weak. Wiest wrote, gentleness or meekness refers to the quality of mildness and gentleness in dealing with others. So when you think of meekness, primarily it's dealing with how you treat others, how you treat God, how you walk with them. Webster says, when it defines gentleness, it's genteel behavior, softness of manners, mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, then it says meekness, kindness, benevolence, tenderness, mild treatment. That would be a person that's gentle. Paul was a gentle man, or a very meek man, but he was a strong, forceful man while walking in the love and the gentleness of God. So he walked in the love and the gentleness of God, but yet he was strong. You can see that all through scriptures. I mean, it took a man to, man, that guy was stoned. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was beat 5 times, the word says, 40 less one. If they went 39 stripes 5 times on him.
He must have got a walking scar.
One more would have meant that he was officially dead. Mm. They never went to 40. They always went 39. Mm-hmm. Paul had it 5 times.
Yeah.
He was rocked to sleep, literally dead. Mm. And they walked off as if he was dead. Mm. Then the stones started moving. He got up and went right back in the same town where he got rocked at. That's not a weak man. Most of the letters he wrote were written in prison. Mm. I mean, he was a man. But he was zealous before he got born again. He was that way towards the church, killing the Christians, before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Then he put the same intensity into his life with God. He was a man. He was very strong and a very forceful man, but he walked in the love and the gentleness of God. That's where part of his power was, is in his meek and gentle life. Paul was a strong man, but the love of God in him made him gentle. Gentleness is a very strong fruit. McLaren is another commentator. McLaren says, meekness points to a submissiveness of spirit, which does not lift itself up against opposition, but bends like a reed before the storm. Now, reeds in a high wind, they just bend over and pop right back up. I've done a lot of traveling through Missouri and a lot of rural traveling. Some areas of Missouri have a lot of evergreens. And when the ice and stuff would come on them, they would bend down. And you think, that tree is done, but it's not. It'll straighten back up. Palm trees are that way. It takes a lot of wind to uproot a palm tree because they'll just lay down and come back up. That's what he's saying. He's comparing that a meek man or a gentle man to that kind of person. No matter how intense the pressure against this person is, they won't fail. They won't fall. They'll bend and come right back. That's a strong person. They can bend with the storm. Meekness to us sounds like someone who is weak with their head held down and will not look you in the eye. That's not a meek person. That's a weak person. And there's a big difference. That's a shy person, a person that has no self-respect, no self-esteem, but that's not meekness. That's not Bible meekness. But the Bible meekness, the fruit of the Spirit meekness, refers to a person who is strong, yet has the capacity to be gentle, loving, and mild when dealing with others. It's not a weakness, but a power gift. This is still McLaren. Meekness does not mean that you are a pushover. It doesn't mean that you just lay down and play dead. You have strength. You have so much strength in you that you don't have to fight for your own way. You know how you're going to come out. This is Bible meekness. He can walk right through the biggest storm in life and not be affected by it. That's why this fruit is so important. For one thing, remember, there's no law that can bring a charge against it. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness. Some translations say meekness, some says gentleness. One says benevolence. But it depends on the translation. But as I've already shown you in the definitions, all of those are together. They all use the same words. It depends, but we're using the Amplified Classic for a base. So when you say meekness, you're actually referring to gentleness and humility. Humility is a very strong, powerful thing towards God, because without it, you can't get to Him. It's a humble spirit. A humble spirit that he acknowledges. Meekness is a very powerful tool in your relationship with God. When something comes your way that needs to be stood up to, you do it. But whatever you do it in love. You know what needs to be done and you do it. You are firm in your stand. We talked about that throughout this series on the fruits through the Spirit. All of these fruits are strong. They can stand because there's no law against them. Nothing can defeat them. They're very powerful. And without them, you can't walk in the fullness of who you are in Christ. And you already have it. You just got to make a choice. I'm going to be patient here. Lord, help me to be patient here. I call on the fruit of patience in this situation. And remember, that fruit of patience is not just for you, it's for others. When they see you walking in patience, you're preaching the gospel to them. When they see you being a meek and gentle person in the middle of all this uproar, you're preaching to them. They see something in you, they may not like it, they may come against it, but when they leave, they know you're different.
Amen.
The average person can't do that. They saw that in Paul. They were not going to bulldoze him down, but yet he was meek and kind. Vines, New Testament says, the fruit of meekness or gentleness is an inwrought grace of the soul, and the exercise of it are first and chiefly towards God. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without dispute or resisting. It is only the humble heart, notice humility there, it is only the humble heart which is also the meek and which, as such, does not fight against God and more or less struggle and contend with him. So many of us, we know God wants us to do a certain thing and we fight against him. We don't want to do it. We know in ourselves we're supposed to be kind and gentle here, but we don't want to be. We want to get even. We're contending with God. He said to be kind and meek. He's the boss, man. This is the rest of it, continued. This meekness, however, being first of all a meekness before God, is also such in the face of men, even evil men. It must be clearly understood, therefore, that the meekness manifested by the Lord and commended to the believer is the fruit of power. The common assumption is that when a man is meek, it is because he cannot help himself. But the Lord was meek because he had the infinite resources of God at his command. We also, as born-again children of God, have these resources available to us by the indwelling Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name by the living Word of God.
That's good.
We can walk in that, and we're expected to. It's not just that we can. God expects us to. This is how we walk in his ways. A prideful or self-centered person will have a hard time with walking in the fruit of meekness or gentleness. They'll argue with it. They're proud of who they are. They're a self-made man. For all intents and purposes, I'm a self-made man, but I don't like saying it that way. I'm a God-made man.
Yeah.
God always puts someone there for me. He always saw to it that I was taken care of. I can tell you story after story after story. I know I didn't do it. He did. And I won't talk about any of that. It's too long-winded. But anyways, I've had a lot of struggles in life. I've done a lot of things, not just as an adjuster, but I've done a lot of things in my life, especially in jobs and businesses and things that I did not qualify for. I didn't have the first amount of education to do it. He gave it to me. He did it. And I wouldn't even be doing this without him.
Amen.
Not only didn't I qualify, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't. There was no way. But he made a way. He healed me. Praise God. I can go on and on with that. But a prideful man, I can do it. I don't need anybody. Yes, you do.
That's what this one preacher said.
You?
He said he made the dumbest prayer he ever made in his life when he told the Lord, if you get me started, I can carry it from here.
Yeah, that's stupid, man. That is stupid. No, no matter how big or small it is, you depend on the Lord. You depend on it. No matter what your age is, I'll be dependent on it when I'm 974. I probably won't be in time, but I'll be in eternity. But I'll never stop depending on my loving Father. I know he loves me.
Amen.
And I know he loves you. But a prideful man will not rely on God. They will come to him when they can't go no further on their own. And what happens then? They have to build a relationship for God to be able to help them. It's too late. They spent too much time in pride. And they're self-centered. A person that is walking in pride or proud of themselves, they're self-centered. And you can't walk the love walk and be self-centered because The love walk is others-centered, thinking of others. Pride doesn't do that. Pride only thinks of himself. Look at what I've done. Well, yes, you've accomplished something, but you didn't do it without God. And if you did it without God, how much further could you go with him?
That, and it won't last.
And what you've done will not last. It will fail. We'll see that in Scripture here in a minute. Meekness displaces pride. In other words, it kicks it out. If you choose to walk in meekness, pride can't be there. They don't mix. Pride comes before a fall. That always happens that way. Proverbs 29:23. This is the King James Version. It's a real short scripture. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. See, when you're humble and you're meek and you're gentle, people are drawn to you. How many people go up and just really want to be with somebody that's mean and ornery and prideful? Not very many, do they? Only if they're that way themselves. And then they'll get in an argument of who's better. But a gentle and kind person, even the prideful person, wants to be with them. Because they're good people. The prideful person will acknowledge that good person. And actually, they see something in that good person that they want to be. That's what they've been seeking all this time, trying to walk in pride. They've been trying to get there, and they can't get there that way. They have to walk in meekness and humbly before God. Proverbs 16:18. Now, the last one said, a man's pride will bring him low. It will not lift him up, it'll bring him low. The very thing he's working on to get lifted up will bring him low. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction. Some say a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride goes before destruction. In other words, your pride is going to bring destruction. First of all, it's going to separate you from people. And you need people. But it will separate you from people. And a haughty spirit, look at me. You know, a haughty spirit before a fall. That haughty spirit, you're going to fall. Then I like this statement here, better to be a humble spirit with the lowly. You're better off down here with this person that's of lowly account and being humble with them than you are to divide the spoil with the proud, because that spoil is going to fail them. Spoil means they've been fighting and they've been stealing and taking things from other people. It's a spoil of war, so to speak. It's going to bring them down. They're not going to succeed. They will not. Matter of fact, one place in Psalms, it says the Lord laughs at them. He laughs at them because it says God knows his time is coming. See, it will not succeed. It may look like it will, but it won't. But when you walk in meekness and humbleness before the God, you will always succeed. May take time, may not be immediate, but it will be there. That's what it's talking about here. A prideful person is so self-centered that they have a hard time humbling themselves before God or man. If you cannot humble yourself before God, you cannot walk with him. Matter of fact, you cannot be born again without humbling yourself before God. That's what you do. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've failed. I know I've done all these wrong things. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of these sins. That's what you're doing. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Please come into my life. He will. That's all he needs is a door. That's all he needs is an opportunity. Praise God. 1 Peter 5:5-7. And you're going to see something about God here in this one. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, he's also talking to older people too, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Not just the younger submissive to the older, but everybody being submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility. If you clothe yourself with something, what are you doing? You're wearing it. It's your lifestyle. It's something you project wherever you go. You're a humble person before God. You're a gentle person and with man. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You want God to resist you? No. No. If you're walking in pride, God resists you. But says he gives grace to the humble. Man, pour out the grace. Lord, pour out the grace. Verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, who does the humbling? I've heard people talk about God humbling them. God didn't humble you. We have to humble ourselves. I have to make that choice.
If something went bad for you, it's because you're reaping what you sowed.
You're right. It's not because God humbled you. You humble yourself, and you can avoid a lot of that. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, you can be prideful and try to get up there where you want to be. I'm doing this. Or you can be humble before God and let him exalt you where you should be. Mm-hmm. Isn't that much better? You know, God can take you a lot further than your pride can. Mm-hmm. He can take you a lot further if you humble him under him. And then you do it with joy, and his presence is with you. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Mm-hmm. Now, a prideful man will not do that. A person walking in pride will not take their cares and problems and issues and bring them to the Lord. You have to be a humble person to do that. Because, after all, you can handle it yourself. I just need God to get me over this little hill. From there, I can take it. No, you can't. You're going to take it, all right. But it's not going to be a successful take it. You're going to get everything Satan has to pile on you. He will. Because where does pride come from? One of his tools, isn't it? James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Two different men of God saying the same thing. Now, James 4, a few verses down the road there, just down the, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You're not, just because you're being humbled doesn't mean you're going to stay down in that state. He's lifting you up. He lifts you up. You're not, if you humble yourself here, which is you have to be the one to humble yourself. God won't. That brings him in on the scene. And he's a lot wiser than you are. Your pride cannot get you where he can take you. And he'll take you the best way, with the most rewards, with the most joy, and leading to eternity. But if God resists you, because he says he resists the proud, in other words, he will not accept a pride person. A person that's walking in pride and proud, he resists that. He will not accept that person that way. You can't even get born again that way. You have to humble yourself before you can receive him as your Lord. Take yourself out of the way, knowing you can't do anything by yourself. He gives you the wisdom, you make the right steps. Because he loves you. Meekness helps a person to walk in the fear, reverential fear, and honor of God. It helps you to depart from evil. A lot of the things that we get into that are evil in our lives that God considers sin are pride related. Pride's there somewhere. Self-centeredness is there somewhere. But if you practice being others-centered, your life focused on bettering others, you'll find yourself being lifted up. You'll prosper where the other guys are not prospering. You can't help it because it's going to work. You can't do it yourself. You can't take yourself to where you need to be in this life. You can't do it yourself. You have to have God to get there. Every person is born for a specific purpose. We all have a specific anointing, a specific job to do that God has us here for. We're not mistakes. We didn't just happen to be born. We're here for a purpose. God has a purpose. And we'll never really be satisfied in this life until we walk in that purpose. It'll take a lifetime to find out what that purpose is. And you won't need to know because you won't be here anymore. A lot of us accomplish our purposes without even knowing we've done that. There's one major purpose, but there's a bunch of other ones too. So it's important that we walk humbly with God, that he can be the light on our path. Otherwise, we're going to make a lot of mistakes, and we'll be digging ourselves out of a lot of holes. He'll lift us up out of the hole, but we still got to humble ourselves. He will not lift us up if we don't, because he can't get to him. One more little statement here. People tend to avoid a person who is prideful or self-centered, but they are drawn to a gentle and meek person. If you want to walk around in pride, you're probably going to do it alone. Or with people as evil as you are. And they'll cut your throat at the first chance. Because they're walking in pride too. They're going to try to outdo you. Try to get what you have. But if you're walking in gentleness and meekness, those around you, you don't have to worry about them. They're helping you because they're walking in meekness too. You're helping each other. You're gaining, you're drawing closer to God. God's with you, and there's a rapport here between you that man can't make on his own. A prideful person cannot make the joyful connections that you can when you're walking with God and walking a humble and gentle life. As you walk through your life, ask yourself, my attitude here, is it self-centered? Am I prideful here? Am I trying to show how great I am? Or am I just being Michael? Am I more interested in that other person gaining that instead of me? Then God will take you around the other way and you'll get in front. He does that. That's what happened to Joseph. His own brothers put him in a pit. They wanted to kill him, but one of them wouldn't let him, so they stuck him in a pit. Then they sold him. His brothers sold him into Egypt, and he went there as a slave. But every place he went, he prospered, because he was a meek and humble man. He prospered everywhere he went. He wound up, they put him in prison for 12 years, and he wound up being the leader of the prison. Then he wound up, from that, he wound up being the second in command of the entire nation of Egypt. Because he was a humble and meek man. He loved the Lord and he walked right with God. He would not break. He'd bend, but he would not break. And there's all kinds of examples. Moses was one. Daniel was one. And his three buddies, I'm going to say I'm probably wrong, Meshach, Rashach, and Abednego. I'm probably saying them wrong, but
Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
There you go. Abednego, that's what it is. Rashach, wasn't it? I always get those wrong, but you know who I mean. They were also the same way. And I mean, you know, you throw a guy in a lion's den and he's there in the morning. that's something. And with those three guys, I'll say it that way, they threw him and them into a fire that was heated seven times hotter than any other time, so hot that the guards that threw them into the fire, they died because of the heat. It was that hot. So anyways, they walked around in that fire, didn't kill them, and the king says, "Hey guys," paraphrased, "Hey guys, didn't we throw three guys in there?" "Yeah, king, three." "Well, there's four in there, and he looks like the Son of God." And it was an angel. And they got him out of there, and there wasn't even smoke on them. Clothes weren't burned, nothing. That's because they were faithful with God. I mean, there's people say, "Oh, yeah, that's just a myth story." No, it's not. It's reality. That happened. That actually happened. There's all kinds of stories that we see in the Bible showing what strength is for a meek person versus a prideful person. You can't ever fail by walking a meek, humble, and gentle life. We're going to see some other scriptures on that. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm walking that.
Amen.
To the best of my ability, and wherever I'm not, I expect God to show me that I'm not and help me change that. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in the Word today. It's so good to be back with our family here, Lord, and so good to be able to share the Word again. I just thank you so much for this study on walking in the ways of the Lord. I'm going to go through it again and just be about my fifth time with studying everything, but I want this in my life, and I ask you, Lord, that you'll impart revelation to us on how to walk in these ways, how it pleases you, and how you're able to build our spirits to where we can walk right with you and be an example to those around us. Be the instruments of your will, the ministers of reconciliation that you called us to be. We're thankful for these things, Lord, and we pray for Kathy. She's in union with her parents. I pray that her eyes are doing good since she had cataract surgery.
That's Monday.
Yes, and we just want to thank you for that, Lord, and thank you that Jean's back and Nate's back and Joy and Ben. We just thank you for these.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for your presence here tonight with us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.